You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The oldest surviving neighborhood in Detroit is Corktown. Irish immigrants began settling there in the 1830s, many of them from County Cork. You could make a good case the most famous symbol of Detroit's decline and urban decay is right there in the heart of Corktown, the Michigan Central Depot. The once glorious train station closed 30 years ago and has since been ravaged by scrappers and weather. Well, now we hear Ford is in talks to buy Michigan Central from the Maroon family and return to the city of Detroit. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us. There is kind of poetic justice, Daniel, in the fact that the Ford family comes from Ballinasgarthy, County Cork, where Henry Ford's father, William, was born in 1863, and now his great-great-grandson wants to get the company back here?
Yeah, he does. Back in December, Bill Ford was at an event where they opened what's called the Factory, which is a former hosiery factory on Michigan and Rosa Parks, where they're going to be locating their Team Edison, which is the autonomous vehicle and electric vehicle teams at Ford Motor Company. Unbeknownst to some of us at the time, they, I think, were already talking to the owners of Michigan Central Depot and looking at it as a potential site for future development. I think this is something that's very meaningful to Bill Ford personally. I think it's also a business move. We've talked many times on your air about how the industry is changing and hiring a different kind of talent, millennials who want to be involved. They don't want to work necessarily in suburban environments. They want to be in an urban setting, part of something that's bigger than they are. And certainly a redeveloped train station in downtown Detroit or in Corktown would be one of those things. And I think that's what Ford is pushing for.
So, Daniel, as you point out in your piece in the Detroit News this week, it has been 22 years since Ford sold the Renaissance Center to GM and left Detroit. So why is Ford coming back now?
Because I think times have changed. It is very cool for business to be in Detroit. It's interesting to me that not only has Ford focused on the Michigan Central Depot in Corktown, but it's also a space that is not occupied really by Dan Gilbert's efforts in the city, the Ilitch family's efforts in the city, General Motors' efforts in the city. I mean, everybody has kind of got their patch, if you think about it, and they really don't want to be stepping on each other. And, you know, you talk to some developers and they'll say, I'm avoiding Gilbertville or I'm avoiding Ilitchville. And I think this is part and parcel of that. This is going to kind of end up being potentially Fordville, if you will, if this moves ahead. I mean, if it doesn't move ahead and all you have is the factory where you've got about 200 engineers working there, I don't think that really changes the development game. If, on the other hand, they use the train station as kind of the core of a campus, essentially, then I think it could be very different and it could change the whole economic dynamic in that neighborhood.
Talk more about what we think Ford would do with Michigan Central if it can buy it from the Maroon family and what the potential price tag might be.
Don't know. their numbers are all over the place. Yeah. I mean, you talk to people about what it would cost to renovate the station. It depends on what you would do with it. It would depend on whether Ford would occupy the entire thing or would they be an anchor tenant and use themselves essentially to attract other kinds of like-minded businesses, whether it could be suppliers, retailers, various other things who would then help to make the business case for redeveloping the building. So I think that's really TBD. Everybody knows Matty Maroon historically drives a hard bargain, and a lot of times deals never happen that they think are going to happen. But this is certainly an opportunity. This could potentially be a win-win, I would think. Can Ford afford it? I think they would probably find a way to afford it, frankly. In terms of what they would do, the reporting we've done so far on this from people who are well-connected into the whole situation is that it's really going to be future-focused. So you say, what does that mean? Well, that doesn't necessarily mean developing the next F-150 or the next midsize SUV. I think what it means is mobility, autonomy, electrification, big data, analyzing big data. I mean, what people need to get their heads around is that all of this talk of Auto 2.0 is about taking the vehicle and making it a data platform, that what it does is collect data. Everything that it sees, everything that you and I do when we drive a car, every situation we deal with, okay, that goes into our brain. But it doesn't go any far. It doesn't go anywhere else beyond us, really. What these vehicles will be doing and what Ford will be having people do is take all this data, suck it in from every one of these vehicles, and you have millions, billions, even trillions of permutations of situations. And that is all processed and analyzed. And that is how vehicles, through artificial intelligence, get smarter and are able to deal with more situations.
And the millennial workers who are going to do that are ones who are not loving the idea of office parks in the suburbs.
Right. And they're a different kind of person. I mean, they're not the kind of person that the auto companies would have hired 10 years ago. Because these kids, if I may, wouldn't work for a General Motors or a Ford, because they would be more likely to be working in Silicon Valley for an Apple, for a Google, you know, fill in the blank. But now these car companies, particularly GM and Ford, because they're much deeper into this space than, say, Fiat Chrysler, they are now competing for that kind of talent, for that, shall I call it, coastal tech talent that in the past they weren't competing for. Yeah, there'd be automotive engineering kids coming out of Michigan or other schools, but not classic programmer types who are a different breed of cat than your typical automotive person.
As you point out in your piece, it's hard not to imagine that this is not very good news for City Hall. As you say, manna from heaven, you know, tax-paying employees at this big, what has been an empty site. But what about people who've been in Corktown all along, living or working, and are nervously eyeing the possible arrival of big business? Are people going to be priced out of their homes or their small businesses?
Well, if you think about it, if you've got a mortgage and you're living there right now, what's going to happen to the value of your home? The value of your home is probably going to go up. Now, how that's bad, I don't know that I quite understand that.
How about renters?
Renters, sure, potentially. But, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, gee, we'd want more investment in our community, and then when you get investment, complain about the investment. Look, it's a binary choice. For the last couple of years, what have we been hearing most about what's happening in downtown? The answer? What about the neighborhoods? Why aren't you investing in the neighborhoods? How come all this big money isn't going into the neighborhoods? Well, now you have a situation where big money, big corporate money, is proposing to go into the oldest neighborhood in the city of Detroit, and already people are starting to complain about it. Either you want the investment and you want property values to rise, prosperity to increase, or you don't want it and you just want to kind of scrape along as Detroit has done for decades in some of its neighborhoods. That's the choice you're facing with. We've already seen it in downtown. As you get more investment, prices do go up. Rents do go up. They don't go up to New York and Chicago levels, but they do go up.
So, Daniel, what kind of timetable might we be looking at?
Fairly short if Ford has their way, I think. They've suggested that they hope to have a decision by May, which tells me that they've been talking about this for more than just a few weeks.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.